Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Leap year? Use that extra day wisely. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
The Health and Safety Authority says over 70% of farm accident deaths last year involved farmers aged over 60. Teagasc, in partnership with Mount Bellew Agricultural College, are running a half-day farm safety event for farmers and their families this Friday. I'm joined on the line now by farm accident survivor Peter Gurhery, who lost his leg in an accident 10 years ago. Hello, Peter.
Good evening, Mary.
Tell us about what happened to you.
I suppose, going back to 2009, I had a farm accident. It was simple how it happened. Basically, in the morning I got up, I put on a pair of overalls, put on a pair of safety Wilton steel toe cap, and we went up farming. But just before dinner time, my knee came out through the waterproof overalls. And at dinner time, I went home, cut the overalls, the waterproof section off. But I left a small tail, about 4 to 6 inches long, 100, 150 mil in length. Thought nothing of it. Went back up farming. Lovely fine day. So we finished up around 5, 6 o'clock the evening. Decided we'd pull out one of the machines, see what kind of maintenance had to be done with it. So when I pulled it out, I spun the PTO. That's the shaft that goes from the back of the tractor to the machine. It was turning big beater panels inside in it, and there was knives. They would chop down the material down to a fine consistency of about 2 inches long, maybe longer than your thumb or that, okay? So it was no cover on my power shaft, but I heard the knives coming from inside the machine. I hopped down off the tractor, walked around the back of the tractor. My move was really to get up on the back of the machine, look into it to see what was knizing.
Yeah.
But as I walked around the back of the tractor, I decided what I'd do was change the hydraulic lines. Pulled out the four hydraulic lines, put them in the correct sequence. And then when I went to stand back, I noticed I couldn't feel the ground with my left leg. What happened was the small piece of clothing got wrapped around the power shaft.
Yeah.
It was only doing 200 RPM. It had stripped the overalls off me, made a rope effect, and it took the leg clean off me below the knee on my left side. At that stage, I went to reach for a button to turn off the machine, but because I was grabbed, it pulled me and threw me out on the ground on the other side. It stripped skin and muscle to the bone on the right leg, shattered the bones in the ankle, and it broke the two bones on the left arm as well.
Peter, I'm horrified listening to you even recounting what happened. I know it's 10 years ago, but it must be as vivid for you now.
It is,
as you
know,
it was that day. And I know you had your little boy with you.
Yes, well, I had my 10-year-old son, excuse me, with me that evening, and I left him sitting on the tractor. So when I left him sitting on the tractor, he was just playing like he was driving.
Mm.
I was on the ground really before he seen what happened. He didn't see it happening. So he turned off the PTO. He hopped down. He gave me my phone. But my phone was the old brick phone, it was called at the time, Nokia. It was considered indestructible.
Yeah.
But it ended up bending like a banana. You know, it wasn't able for the pressure that it went through that evening.
Yeah. So what did he, who sounded the alarm? Did your son go back home, or what happened from there? I mean, at this stage, are you knocked out on the ground?
No, I was conscious through the whole thing. I was there. So what I told my son was to go down and get my wife, his mother, to come up. She came up into the farmyard, and what she did when she seen me on the ground, you know, the first things out of her mouth was, "My God, what have you done?" Now, she didn't say it as nice as that, but because we're on air. And then next thing was straight out of it. "Don't you die on me," you know, like straight away. If you do, she says, "I'm going to kill you." Because she knew straight away there was a mortgage there. There was bills to be paid on the farm. There was no will made on the farm.
I'm sure, Peter, it was you she wanted. And, you know, it wasn't the bills she was thinking about at that stage, in fairness. So you were conscious throughout all of it. Were you aware your leg was gone?
Yes, I knew before I was thrown over the tractor that my leg was gone, you know, and I didn't realise how much damage was done to my right leg. It was the left leg that was gone below the knee. My right leg, as I said, was stripped through skin and muscle to the bone down in the shin area. I shattered the bones below at the ankle. So there was no way I could stand up. When I tried to sit up that evening, it was then I noticed that I had broken the two bones because my left arm gave out from under me. And when my wife was there, I wanted her to put clothes underneath me because I was just in probably my underpants and an undervest, and I was feeling the cold of the concrete, and she refused to let me turn over. She was afraid. At that stage, I could have spinal injuries, and she wanted to wait until the paramedics came out before I could move.
What was your recovery like?
I suppose, look, I went into Port Junkla Hospital. I must thank the staff in Port Junkla. They were brilliant. 15, 20 of them met me on arrival there. They prepped me, you know, took care of my arm, took care of the leg, cleaned up the wounds and that. They sent me then that evening to Galway UHG. I got into Galway UHG. Because I was a non-smoker, they were able to work on me a lot longer than if I was smoking. I was only 42 years of age at the time. But they stayed about 8 to 10 hours working me that evening. They had to amputate the leg above the knee at that stage because there wasn't enough of skin or muscle left to do a flap below the knee, you know. Now, if I had my knee joint, I reckon I'd be a lot better than I am.
And that was the left leg.
That's the left leg.
Yeah.
On the right leg, they weren't sure what they were going to do with that because there was still a lot of dirt from the farmyard in around it. They had to clean that, and they weren't sure whether they were going to be able to save that leg or not at the time.
What level of mobility do you have now?
Lucky enough, we saved the right leg, so we did. We put in steel plates below the leg. I don't have full mobility on the ankle. You know, putting on a pair of Weltons is impossible for me because I can't, you know, push the toes down closer to the ground to be able to shove them in around the Welton. I got a brand new leg, we'd say, in America there 5 years ago, which has given me a great mobility around the farm. But I still can't run after cattle. I can't jump around the place.
Your life was utterly changed, thankfully, and thankfully for your wife and your family. You didn't die, but you did find, I think, after your accident, there wasn't much out there in terms of support for farm accident survivors, and you faced a lot of problems.
Yes, and I suppose, look, at the biggest problem which we've been advocating there big time is that farmers, you know, need to get back to farming, right? It's the only thing we're trained up to do. It's the only thing we can do, a lot of us, right? There should be an adaption grant is one thing I would look that there is for certain individuals, but for the self-employed, there's no adaption grant. Like, we should be allowed to be able to do little tweaks around our farm yard to get us back farming. If I was working for you, Mary, there is grants there that I could come in and work for you, and you would get the money to adapt your workplace to suit me. So why can't that be there for the self-employed as well? I suppose for me, I had to get rid of the suckler cows because I could no longer run around after the cows. I was putting too much pressure on my family to help me on the farm.
Yeah.
And because my young lad was going into college at a critical period, he was going to be doing his inter cert, and then he was junior cert, and then he was going on to do his leaving cert. So I just stepped back from the cows and went more into tillage because I was more independent. I could drive the tractor and that around. I could, you know, do the ploughing, I could sow it, I could till, I could harvest it as well.
And you continue now to lobby on behalf of farmers and so on, but this whole question of the number of farm accidents we see and farmers making sure, because the farm is a home as well as a business.
It is, but you see, the biggest problem is farmers grew up, like, I'll give you one instance. There was an accident near me where a farmer was attacked by a bull there last year, 2 years ago. And that farmer was nearly 84 years of age. He went down herding down the field, right? And if you take it, that farmer probably didn't go any further than national school, didn't go to secondary school. So he left school probably at the age of 14. Now he's 84, so 70 years he's farming, and he just got caught out by a bull. But what do we do with farmers when they get to 65 or 70 years of age? How do you tell them, here, you have to stay in, you can't no longer go farming? This is their home. This is what they grew up on. This is what they're doing 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
What's the solution?
My solution would be simple, is I think we need to start back at national school level, which is happening with the likes of Alma Jordan and AgriKids, is going on there, showing the kids the dangers on farms. We need to get someone resourced going out into secondary schools. And then we pushed looking for, when I mean we, myself and a few more, Vincent Nally from Westmeath, FRS, pushed looking to get a mentor program here like was ran in Sweden. And that programme in Sweden reduced the death rate by 45%. It also reduced the death rate on year five of their programme to zero. Now, I looked for that to be ran here in Ireland, and I was told by a certain MEP at the time, oh, if you gave me that in the beginning, I would have made sure that got through. It's not me that needs to get it through. It's not for Pete Gorry. It's for all farmers in Ireland, is what we should have. Mentor programmes going around, teaching the kids in schools, going out to the local marts, like what's going on in Chagas. Chagas are a busy organisation. They can't do it all. But you need to be able to go into the older farmer, talk to them, show them the consequences of a farm accident. And like, once you get up there in years, you don't need what happened to me to happen to you, you know.
Peter, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and thank you very much indeed. That's Peter Gougherty in our Athlone studio this evening talking to us.